was the beginning. It wasn't the end. And I want to tell us today, I want us to remember this, guys. Your yes determines the path you're going to take to reach your destination. But your yes is to the destination. And I think so often we get so wrapped up, we think the yes is the end when the yes is just the beginning. And Jesus had that in his life. He said, guys, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. See, God's purpose for all creation before anything existed was to be one with you, to live in your skin with you. You're unique. I'm unique. Everyone that's ever born is unique in the world. And God's dream, His passion, His life was to live inside of your heart, to do life with you. And that's God's purpose. And what happened on the resurrection was, for the first time in human history, that became possible. You know, I love this passage. He said, John 16, right? Jesus is going on. He said, guys, I'm about to leave you. I'm about to go. And I'm going to go back and join the one who sent me. He's going to go back to heaven and be one with the Father in heaven. And yet not one of you are asking me where I'm going. Instead, your hearts are filled with sadness because I've told you these things. But here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. You see, the cross was a step to the resurrection. He had to die so that we could live. Because if he goes away, guess what he said happens? If I don't go away, the divine encourager, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will not be released to you, but after I depart, I will send him to you. So for the first time in history, that it was possible for you and I to have the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit living with us, in us. It's like when he was watching you before you were born. You were in God's mind before anything was ever created. And in his mind, he longed to be with you. His greatest cry of his heart was he wanted to be with you. And when Jesus went away, he said, now, guys, you get to experience love. You get to experience peace. You get to experience joy. You get to experience my presence. You see, when your yes, you know what your first yes is? Your first yes is whenever the Holy Spirit opens your heart and you come to the place in your life, you go, what? You know what? I need God. I need God. I need more than I have. You see, you got to come to that place in your life where you realize, and for some of us, if you're very perseverant and strong and self-willed and self-controlled and self-motivated, maybe you don't think you need God. Maybe you think you're smart enough without Him. Maybe you think you can push through without Him. Maybe you don't even realize you need God yet. Well, one day the Holy Spirit's going to open your eyes and you're going to find out, just like most of us have already found out, I can't do this alone. I need you. He is peace. He is joy. He's the fulfillment of every dream that God's ever given us in our heart. And Jesus said, if I don't go away, if I don't die on the cross, if I don't die, I'm not going to be raised. And if I don't go away, then I can't send the Holy Spirit to you. And this was in John 16, was after he'd already raised from the dead. And his disciples were like, Jesus, we want you. We want to be with you externally. And Jesus said, no, I want to be with you inside. And I believe there's a lot of stepping stones. You see, your yes today, your yes when you said it. All of us had a day where we said yes to the destination of our lives. And we thought the destination was heaven in the future. And Jesus' destination was with you now. He died so that he could be with you now, not just in heaven forever. And when we say yes to that, all of a sudden things in our life start changing. You know, the truth is, once you say that first yes becomes the open door for the stepping stones to lead you to experience the power of the resurrection in your life. I need the power of the resurrection in my life. I need His power. I need His wisdom. I need His perseverance. I need His love. I need His patience and kindness. I need His ideas. I need everything in Him in me. And your life and my life becomes a journey as we do that. Every yes we have, every time we say yes to Him, we're experiencing the power of the resurrection in our lives again and again and again and again and again. You know, I love this verse. Paul said this, to them God has chosen, Colossians 1:27, to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Do you know there's something unbelievable, rich, and beautiful about this? And you know what it is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Like, you're the hope of the person you're sitting next to. You're the hope of our economy. You're the hope of our city. You're the hope of our education system. We're the hope of the children. I mean, you know, Lisa made a big deal about you because it was a big deal. She brought glory into her classroom because she allows the Holy Spirit to live through her and the power of God to work through her to impact those small children. And I had grandchildren in that class whose lives were changed forever. You see, God has the same thing for you and I. Every yes you say to God is another step. It's another stepping stone to lead you to experience the power of the resurrection. And it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes. You know, the entire Old Testament, let me just give you an idea, something to think about. You know the Old Testament before Jesus came, right? In the Old Testament, we have a huge history of man trying to live the best life he can without the Holy Spirit inside of him. But he had the law, you had the kingdoms, you had the children of Israel, you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, it's like all of humanity was living for thousands of years doing the best they could. And you know what they found out at the end of thousands of years with the best law, the best government, the best everything? They found out that they can't do it without Jesus in here. Jesus said, that's why I've come, guys. Have you come to the place where you realize you're not going to ever reach your potential, fulfill your destiny, impact the world, make it through these bondage and the darkness in this world without Jesus inside? He's the difference in our lives, and it does something. So I look at that. You know, it's Adam and Eve. Think about the very first two, right? The first two humans that God created in the flesh. They were on earth. And you know what they found out? The very first thing, they could not resist the lies of the devil. The devil lied to Eve, she believed him, she was deceived, and she ate from the tree and gave it to her husband, and he ate too. You see, without the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can't resist the lies that you're hearing right now. And you know those lies? You're not enough, you're too much, you'll never make it, you deserve punishment, you've gone too far, you're stupid. You're not successful. I'm a loser. You know those lies the darkness brings to your mind? Without the Holy Spirit, you can't resist those lies. You cannot resist the lies without Him. Adam and Eve couldn't. And Adam and Eve were there was nothing in them, right? They had only experienced a personal relationship with God, but they didn't have what Jesus died for, which was to bring the Holy Spirit inside. You see, we live in a time right now when we can say yes to Him. Your yes to God releases the ability for God to release the power of the resurrection inside of you. Every yes, every yes. And, you know, I ask those questions. I look at that. Adam and Eve were just like us, just like us. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God in us, with us. And we need the power and the life, the supernatural life that comes from Him being with us. Now, I thought about it when I was looking at the Old Testament. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Solomon, Elijah. You look at the wisest man on earth, the wealthiest man on earth, the most powerful kingdom in the history of the world. All of those failed because they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. You see, the Old Testament proves it. The whole story, those thousands and thousands of stories and millions of people whose lives proved you can't do this without the Holy Spirit. God proved something there. You see, the Israel people were waiting for the Messiah to come. Like they were waiting for Messiah. When the ones who crucified Jesus were waiting for the Messiah. But they had this thought that here's what will make my life good. If the Messiah comes and sets up a kingdom on earth and the Jews are the top people, that'll be a good world. If we have all the wealth, that'll be a good world. If we have all the power, that'll be a good world. And you know, the history had already proven a thousand times, thousands of times, but that doesn't make your world good. Jesus came and he didn't come to wield a sword and to force control in the world. He came to open a door so that he could live inside of us. And that was the gospel that's going to change the world. It's Jesus in us, the hope of glory. And I see that, and it's like, God, we still are crying out for a king. We're still crying out for governmental control. We want to control everybody. We want everybody to act like us and do what we do. You know, there's this crazy thought we have that separates our relationship, an internal relationship. We think of external relationship. And that's the same things the Jews did. And the entire Old Testament proved that external constraints do not work. You know what changes the world? Jesus in you. It's every time you face a situation or you face a circumstance or you have a problem or you have a dream. It's every time you go to Him and you say yes, 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 yes. Because every time you do that, the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, gets released inside of your life. And you'll experience a supernatural power that you'll never experience any other way. Outward control will not defeat the darkness in our world. Outward control will never stop the devil's lies. It never does. You know, Jesus knew that. He said these crazy things. He said, listen, guys, I'm the vine, and y'all are branches. And guess what? If you remain in me and I remain in you, you'll bear fruit. It's like, cause and effect. It's like, how do you want to, have fruit in your life? You want to have joy? You want to have peace? You want to see our society changed? You want to see our economy improved? You want to see the world fed? Whatever your dream is, that happens through abiding in the vine. You see, the first time you say yes, and I believe most of us have done that. We've come to that place where we've already admitted, God, I need you. I need relationship with you in here. I need you, God. See, that very first time you do that, that sets the direction and path of your life. You've already said, you've already made 1,000 decisions the first time you say that to God. God, I need you. You know what your decision is? God, I'm going to seek you. I need you to know whether I turn left or turn right, whether I step back or step up. God, I need you to know how to raise children. I need you to know how to live in relationships. I need you for my business. I need you for my intelligence. I need you for my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health. I need you, God. And so once you say that first, I need you, you've already determined what you're going to do tomorrow. You've already made a decision. You know, it's almost like if you decide, you know what? I had a friend growing up. He went to the Air Force Academy, you know, and he graduated from the Air Force Academy. He was stationed here at Little Rock Air Force Base, and we became friends. We were hunting buddies. And he had this crazy dream. He wanted to own a ranch. You know, not like a worm ranch like I have. He wanted a cow ranch. But he grew up as poor as Marceline was when she lived outside of Desark as a kid. That's how poor he grew up. Like, it was hand to mouth, just very, very real poverty in East Texas. And He had no land. He had no inheritance. I think lieutenants out of the Air Force Academy at that time were making $23,000 a year or some, you know. There was no way that man would ever make enough money to have a ranch, a cattle ranch, to buy 500 acres, 300 cows, and all the equipment required. Plus, those guys all lose money now anyway. You can't make money at that unless you have money. And he didn't have any money. So when I first met him, he's in his early, mid-20s, and he made a decision. I want to have a ranch. Well, you know that one decision affected every other decision he made. And you know what he did? He said, you know what? To have a ranch, I have to have money. To have money, I have to have a rich uncle I don't know about. or make a whole lot of money gambling or whatever, you know. It's like, no, he said, you know what, to have money, I'm going to have a job that'll pay me enough to buy all this equipment, all this land, all this cows. And you know what he did? You know what he did? He went back to college when he got out of the Air Force, and they paid for his college. And he went and got another master's degree, and he went to medical school, and he graduated. He went through all the internships, and then he became a doctor up in Calico Rock and became a part of the hospital up there. And he made enough money to buy land and cows and tractors and barns. And, you know, his one yes to a dream he had in his heart when he was in his 20s turned into 1,000 yeses that led this path that ended up with now he has a ranch, beautiful ranch, up in just outside of Calico Rock. You see, your yes today to God will direct every decision you make from this point on. It will. And you know what? God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to fulfill your plan, and he wants you to succeed. And it happens when you say yes. And so you know how to bear fruit? Remain in him. Remain in him. And you'll make the right decisions. You see, that determined Jesus' path. Mary and Joseph's yes made a difference, right? That young teenage girl, yes to God, made a difference. It was when Jesus, before the world was created, and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit said, you know what, here's our plan. We want to live inside of humans. We want to be one with them. And to do that, somebody has to die. And Jesus said, I'll die. You see, every decision he ever made came from that place. And you watch that in Jesus' life. You know, I love it. Easter, the cross, the resurrection, it really was the only path to accomplish God's plan to be one with you. His deepest desire is to talk to you, to live with you, to help you make decisions, to give you the power to do what he's created you a desire to do. His greatest desire, it's like we can't even imagine. He does it because he loves us. So everything he did on earth in the flesh was so that he could become one with you in your flesh. And that's his deal. And Easter, the cross, and the resurrection was the path to accomplish God's plan for Jesus' life. You know, his birth, we celebrate that at Christmas, right? That was just another yes to God's plan. It wasn't the end. It was a part of the journey to the end, to the final destination he had. Because it was in Jesus, God, for the very first time, was able to live, to incarnate. The incarnation is deity living in humanity. It's God himself in you, in me. That's what the incarnation means. That word just means that God's deepest dream was to be with us. Is that not unbelievable when you think about it? He wants to be with you when you're bored. He wants to be with you when you're happy. He wants to be with you when it's hard. He wants to be with you in the storm. He wants to be with you in the victories. He wants to be with you all the time. I don't know why. It makes him happy. It feels good. Like his most comfortable place. You know what they call this? They call this a tabernacle, a tent. That God lives in. He's most at home inside of your tent, your flesh, your mind, your life. He wants to be with you all the time. It's just like when, you know, you're a teenager. You ever watch those teenage boys when they fall in love? They'll follow a teenage girl around like a puppy dog. It's like they don't even, everything else disappears in their world except for being around that girl. Yeah, God's worse than that with us. He wants to be in you all the time. And I think it's amazing. So when we look at Easter and we look at the resurrection, I want you to remember that. Forever remember that. He became human so that God could become one with us. He wants to be one with you. That was the purpose of what Jesus did on the cross and the reason he was raised from the dead. Now, so what's the big deal about being human? I ask that question. I hear a lot of thoughts about it in the last 40 years. But I want to know, God, why did you have to become human? You could have been a rock. You know, the rocks cry out and give glory to God. So I don't know. God, you could be wood. God, you could be anything in the world, and you decided you wanted to be this mess that we are. And I'm like, God, I don't get it. Why? Why did you become human? You know why he became human, I believe? So that he could experience life with you. And not just when you got saved, not just when you die, not just in emergencies. He wants to experience life with you. I've seen a beautiful thing before. One of the most beautiful things in the world is when you get to experience life. Like when children are growing up, you get to be with them when they take their first steps. You get to be with them when you see them realize, you know, you ever watch a kid when they figure out that they can actually put their hand in their mouth? It's like they discover something. It's like discovering gold for them. It's like, my hand, oh, they shove it in their mouth. They shove it in their mouth. You know, when they first start trying, they shove it up their nose. They hit their eye. No, they can't do it. But they discover that. What an amazing thing. Can you imagine the victory that a child feels when they actually get to the point where they can control their hand? It's like, I watch, you know. It's like, to me, it's just so fascinating. Do you know that Jesus gets to experience that feeling of accomplishment that the babies experience when he's with them and they do that? The first time they walk. The first time the baby figures out how to manipulate its parent and make them feed them. You know, I think they get a kick out of it. Like, watch this. I can get mom to come here and feed me. And they run over like, oh, that's good. They're happy. It's the same thing we feel when we have a big victory. Aren't you happy when you get something done, when you do something well, when you can fix a problem? There's a drug released in our brain that happens whenever we accomplish something. And I think Jesus gets to experience that with us. Every time we grow, every time we face a problem. You see, now, so why did Jesus want to be human? And he wasn't an imitation human. He was fully human. Why? Well, you know, you read this, he wanted, the strength God wants to release in you is the same strength that was released in Jesus when he rose from the dead, right? If y'all have read that passage, Ephesians 1:18-23, it's the same thing. Now, here's a very key verse, Luke 2:41-52. It's when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents were going to Jerusalem to the festival of the Passover, which was the big thing, right? And when the festival was over in verse 43, his return parents were going home. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, 12-year-old kid. There was over 1 million people in that city during the Passover. It was packed with people, and he stayed behind. They were unaware of it, which don't condemn his parents. Those guys, they traveled together, and everybody watched the kids. And they would travel, but they had so many people traveling to Jerusalem together with them that he was able to be gone. He and they went on for a whole day, and then they began looking for Jesus. They couldn't find him among their relatives and friends. And then they went back to Jerusalem. They walked all the way back to Jerusalem, and after 3 days, they found him. You know, that reminds me of the resurrection. How many days passed when Jesus died before he was raised from the dead? 3. You see, we found Jesus too in 3 days, didn't we? I was like, that's interesting. And he was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Now this, of course, right? And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, "Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus is like, "Well, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" They didn't understand. You see, your first yes, Jesus had already made a decision. I am going to be about God's business. My life, it's going to be about his business. And his parents knew that too, because they saw the prophecies. They heard the prophets talk about Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew he was supernaturally born through the Holy Spirit. They knew. And Jesus was like, "Guys, I already said yes to him." You see, your yes to God is a big deal. It predetermines your choices in the future. You don't have to worry about a bunch of stuff, because you've already said yes to him. And so you already know. You know, I think a lot of times we fight and we struggle with stuff that we've already decided. You know, should I do this? Should I do that? No. Did you say yes to God? The only thing you should do is talk to God about it. You see, and then this is a big deal, because we're going to go here in a few weeks after Easter. Then, this is the only information we have about Jesus from when he was 12 years old until he was 30. This is it, this next two verses. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, which was a little bitty dumpy town, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God. And he grew in favor with men. And the next 18 years of his life were very practical ways that Jesus kept saying yes, yes, yes. And every time he did it, he faced adversity. He had the struggles that teenage boys have. He had parent issues. He had a father that died when he was young. He had siblings. He had to become the man of the house way before a young boy should, right? He had adversity. He had people that judged him. He was looked down upon. And he also had amazing gifting, which is very confusing to young people. It's like, I'm amazingly gifted and I get all this praise, but I also get put down and judged by the people in town, and people don't want to let their kids play with me because they know I'm not my father's son. You see, Jesus faced adversity. He faced challenges. He grew over and over and over and over. He faced the physical realities of growing up that we all face. But you know what he did? Every time he faced one of those issues, it was him and God. Him and God. Him and God. Him and God. And he grew and he grew and he matured. And God brought him from a 12-year-old boy that knows his destiny, but he wasn't ready for it. 18 years later, after 1,000 practical touches, Jesus was ready to walk out his destiny. You see, I think we've got to come to a place where we say yes to God. Yeah, but my life's not easy. Neither was his. It's taking longer than I thought. He was 30. He was 30 before he went and got baptized by his cousin John. 30. He wasn't 12. He obeyed his parents, even when they probably, just like here, they got on to him and they shouldn't. Well, they should have. I'd have beat the tar out of him if he was my 12-year-old. Stay at hiding in the, whatever. Said, come here, you know. Either way, it doesn't matter, because Jesus, everything he did with his dad. And guys, we're going through life, and God wants to have a resurrection for each one of us. And we get to experience 1,000 small resurrections that's preparing us for our destiny. So this Easter season, it's like, yeah, the resurrection, the incarnation was in Jesus. And because Jesus went away, it's in us too. And I love that passage. It's the same Spirit, right? And I love that. I love the fact that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Do you know the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you? There's no thing you'll ever face greater than the power of God inside of you. Does that mean you won't hurt? Does that mean you won't have trials? No. When Jesus stood up into the crucifixion, when he bled and was rejected and cursed and judged and betrayed, those things all hurt. But the power of the resurrection was greater than the pain. There was nothing in the world. The Roman government, who ruled the known world at that time, didn't scare Jesus, because there's a power inside of him that was above all things. That same power lives in us. And guess how we get to where we need to go? One step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. Yeah, but it's hard. Amen. Do it with God. Well, it's good. Amen. Do that with God too. And you'll have 1,000 touches of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then that moment when we are going to stand and shine, we'll be ready. You'll be ready for anything that comes because of him in you. So it's a big deal. It's exciting what we're doing. So let's all stand up. I appreciate you guys' patience. We're heading to Easter. And I wish I would have had more time. Hey, Peter. But I just want to ask you, have you already decided your destination? And I don't mean going to heaven. I mean doing life with God. Have you already decided, I need God. I need him, I need him, I need him. If you've already made that decision, then you've already decided the outcome. And you're just on your journey. But do you believe that what you do, it's going to get you there? Hard or easy, good, bad, doesn't matter. It's going to get you to where God wants you to be. So this morning, if you've never said yes to God in the big way, the overall way, God, I can't do this without you anymore. I want to invite you to come and meet Jesus today. Not the Jesus that lives out here, the Jesus that lives inside. You'll experience his passionate love for you. If you've never met Jesus before, if you've never said the big yes, let's do it. Let's do it today. Let's don't wait. Let's say yes. Okay? So if you're here this morning and you want to say yes to him, that you're just saying, Jesus, I need you. Join the crowd. We need him. So let's just pray for a second, okay? So Jesus, we do. We just want to say to you this morning, we need you. There's no mountain too high. There's no valley too low for you. And God, I ask that if there's somebody that you're just passionately in love with, that you're dying, literally dying to be one with, Holy Spirit, that today you would draw them. Just let them know that this is the day you want to come and be with them. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to speak right now. We have ministry teams. Also, they want to pray with you. Oh, don't miss your opportunity. You probably don't have too many opportunities for Lisa to pray with you anymore. So don't miss a chance. She hears the Holy Spirit. Also, if you've been living life after you said yes, but you have lots of things that you're still doing alone, it'd be a good day to turn that over to God. okay, God, I'm going to quit complaining about how hard things are, and I'm going to start focusing on you. And you'll see a change in the outcome of what your life is, okay? So, God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the children's classes, worship, the ushers, God, the teachers, the leaders, everyone here today that loves people. God, I just thank you that you care about people. And I just thank you for everyone that's here today. And God, remind us this week to love people, God, and to bring them into your presence. God, remind us this week about the Easter lunch and everything that's going to happen for the kids next week. Just use us to bring your life to the people around us, God. Just thank you, King. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday.